Hello, everybody, and welcome. We are transforming grief into its healthy roles of dispersion, releasing, letting go, surrendering, allowing, pick a synonym. And we're doing that in the context of the governing vessel meridian, which we've been exploring a little bit here. And I know I mentioned this before I started recording, but just in case those of you would also like to hear it who may not be live. I just want to say a really big thank you to all of you who extended all of your grace and your kindness. The illness came on the day prior a little bit, but I thought I might get out of the woods with it. Sometimes when I catch things early, they're easy to turn around, but no dice on this one. My body needed to cleanse something out, and I'm very grateful that it did. Had a bit of a fever for a few days, and that's cleared now. And just you might hear a little residual stuffiness. There might be a bit of a cough or a sneeze that happens in our time together, but I'm feeling much, much better. And it's very much at the tail end. Yeah. All right, y'all. So as we settle in for our time together today, I'm going to invite you to find a nice, quiet, cozy place to either sit or lay where you can be undisturbed for your time. And as you settle in, perhaps beginning here by means of breathing. By means of breathing. Every inhale, an opportunity to release. Pardon me. I was actually looking at your notes that you were sending in as I was talking. Let me try that again. And as you can tell, somebody's requested some release. So I imagine we'll see that come up. But at some point, now, I'm going to invite you to focus again on that inhale as an invitation to receive, to take in life. And to connect to inspiration. And perhaps that's around what you're releasing today. My slips of the tongue I've learned over the years are often quite energetically attuned to the needs of what's showing up in the room. And every exhale, an opportunity to surrender, to release. To let go. To make space. To make space. And every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. And if any part of that feels pleasant, or at the very least neutral, taking a moment to savor that, to really take that in. And on that note, I'm going to invite you to locate a resource, as we've been calling it off and on, either outside of you or inside of you. And if it feels safe enough to do so, I'm going to invite you to find that internally. And if not so much today, then finding it externally is a great way to go too. And as you locate this resource, it's an invitation to find something inside or outside of you that's pleasant. Or at the very least, neutral. The very least, neutral. And then the invitation, once you've landed on that, is to take a moment to notice what it is you like the most about this thing, this area, this memory, this image, whatever you may have found that's pleasant and neutral. And as you take a moment to notice that, also savoring it, savoring and drinking that in, much like you would a fine meal. Receiving this as potentially just a moment of replenishment, of nourishment, of rejuvenation. And as you drink that all in, savoring that one breath at a time, I'll offer just a few words. And I'm going to invite you as I do that to notice the impact of being present in this way. And if any part of that is pleasant or neutral, feel free to drink that in too. And for anyone, in addition to all that, if anyone has found something externally, I'm going to also invite you to take a moment to imagine that you can breathe that energy in to you, right out into your body. And noticing again the impact and savoring any parts of that that are pleasant to neutral. Thank you for being here. Thank you for bringing all of you to the table, so to speak. And thank God all of you is here. And thank you to all that's gone into that presence, this opportunity for us to all be here in all of our ways that we've gathered. And as we take a moment to perhaps notice that, thank you to the families, the lineages, and the ancestors who have made that all possible. And thank you to all that's nourished this possibility. Thank you to all of those that have caretaken, that have stewarded this land, that have held its nourishment sacred so it may nourish us. Our ancestors, our lineages, that may nourish us all. Thank you for your deep care and love and attention to that. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. And as we settle in for today, if there's anything that's calling you, taking a moment to perhaps scan the body to notice that. Knowing that at any point in time when we're working together, you can always come back to this resource. So if things get edgy or if things feel a little too much at times, taking a moment to pause entirely with your attention back to that resource or to incorporate it while we're working, to have your attention hearing what it is we're offering alongside of taking in that resource. And if you found anything particular that's alive or that you know that you are keen to address today, feel free to pop it on into the chat feature if you feel called to. You can share it openly with everyone, to me privately, whatever may feel right for you. And as we get underway here, I got a few emails and texts and messages. You've already heard a little bit around release, the inquiry for that. And it was very interesting. There were some definite themes that arose in the emails. So clearly how we have one person experiencing one thing is often a familiar experience for us all to witness and be in. And as we work with this element in particular of grief, I'm going to invite you to move with all this information, potentially at a pace that's just a little bit slower than we might normally have done before, or that may have been even available before. And as we take this opportunity to move just a little bit slower today, taking time to see what that slowness offers, there may be space to see things that weren't visible before. There may be a capacity to attend to different details in different ways, or even if it's familiar old hat stuff, to find new opportunities and new ways to be with it and to integrate those old challenges in new ways. So as we take a moment to really soak that in, this opportunity to go slow. You may already have a moment of like, ugh, I hate going slow, arise. And that's really normal, really normal. Especially for us that are used to being in fast mode. And we're likely in fast mode for really good reasons. So I'm gonna invite you again to just take a moment to notice the body mind. And if any part of it is moving quickly, we're gonna offer it courtesies and switching technique to help calm the nervous system. Alongside of that, offering hydration. So those areas that may be trapped in the need to go, to do, to be, to achieve, to prove, to move quickly, out of a need to potentially even survive. And as we offer courtesies, switching hydration to all of those areas, you may be thinking, for the body talkers in the crowd, that sounds a little like access, and you're not wrong. After this, we're going to work with body chemistry. But the body chemistry is specific to the diaphragm, the center of emotional processing, integration, holding, processing. And as we work with the diaphragm and body chemistry, we're working with an intolerance to slowness, to things being too slow or too boring or too dull at times. And then we're running reciprocals, all 17 of them, which help to align the body physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. And as we offer the reciprocal, supporting in essence this becoming a bit of a somatic integration, letting the body mind know it's safe to slow down now. It's safe to slow down now. You can come out of survival mode. And as we offer that space to step out of survival mode, I see just a little tentative, almost like when we open our doors in Canada and we're, testing to see how cold it might be. It's like, what's it like out there? Just a little peek out. And as that tentative peek out happens, it actually happens via the lungs, that process group, the lung meridian alike. And as we work with the lungs, the lung meridian, which not just process grief, but they help us to step into new beginnings in a way that may require the old to be put down. So to work with that, we're actually going to bring in a cell repair, restoring cells back to their fullest potential of health. And we're going into the family lines through dad's side. We're going back a fair ways, 12 generations on dad's side. And on mom's side, not quite as far. But it's a range, it's 5 to 8, depending upon each of you and what it is you may need. And as we head back into the family lines here, we're doing so on that, not surprising, emotional frequency of grief. And there was this tendency to, out of a need to survive at one point in life, to have to hang on. There was a time in which things may have felt like it was lacking, which there may have been like a famine or drought or not enough resources of some sort to support actual existence and survival. And it set the patterning of the need to hang on, the need to cling, the need to fight and claw and push at all costs, and to, again, not let things go, to not let things go. So as we work with that whole theme, it's not unwinding just from the lungs. It's actually coming off of, as well as lung meridian, it's also coming off of that area where the skull joins the spine, in particular, right around governing vessel 16 points, which is right in the center of all of that. And governing vessel 16 point, we worked with a little bit, I believe, last session. And in part, it connects up to the governing vessel 20 point, roughly in the crown of the head, in internal branches as well as external branches. And right now, there's just looking like there's a lot of energy trapped internally. And that in turn is related to that need to have to like hang on or cling and really contain to figure out how to survive. So as we're offering this expansion to the external pathways, we're going to bring in the planetary energy that supports expansion, that of Jupiter. And we're running the permissions. that it's safe to open up. It's safe to open up here again. As we support the body in releasing that old pattern of having to cling to hang on, alongside of that is going with it that need to overly contain or in a way isolate. That's all linking into now the heart. And if we can imagine the heart as having been caught in that cycle of swinging between the need to cling to potentially even connection that may not even been supportive, but it felt like a need to survive, so you hung on there, all the way through to isolation and wanting to just simply hide away. And in a way, attempting to prevent hurts before it even landed. So I'll just shut down before anybody else does anything that makes me shut down. As the heart's been caught in that sort of pendulum swinging between these two, we're invited as that pattern releases to find potentially its more natural rhythm. And as we connect it to the natural frequency of all things heart, we're working with now the energy of the sixth house, which brings us into service. Service to ourselves, service to our bodies, service to the world, the community. Perhaps there isn't a difference. And as we support the body in finding natural, healthy, being in service energy, it almost looks like it takes off a bit of pressure to have to figure things out. As you may be in service to others, your world, your community, your animals, your earth, your lands, or anything else, we often have this capacity to let the energy of us that we may be having clung to fade away just a little bit. And as we offer that spaciousness, in essence, to arise right into this heart space, linking it again into this governing vessel meridian in its entirety. And with that, I actually see the heart almost like it's sitting back in a reclining chair, taking in the sun. It's finally summer here. And as it reclines on back, feeling what it is to be supported and protected by your internal healthy masculine energy that also doesn't need to cling or isolate, but can find a new way of dancing, a new way of being, a new way of singing, a new way of supporting. And as we work with this relationship between all things heart and all things governing vessel meridian, I see it as bringing heart harmony into governing vessel masculine protection. And as we allow those two to merge, bringing in the liver energy, Mrs. Liver, who does a number of things, including releasing old karmic toxic patterns. So anything that's getting in the way of that union between harmony and protection gets to gently be detoxed through Mrs. Liver. And then we're going to link that into the natural house of the liver, liver meridian, pardon me, the 12th house, house of, again, releasing dispersion in its own way. And then at the same time as that, doing an emotional release of overwhelm from the center point of the heart. And then simultaneously releasing layers of anger and apathy, almost layered like a layer cake. There's 10 or 12 layers in total of anger and apathy. And I see that it's hanging out just to the left of the heart. And for some of you, it might go up a little bit and down a little bit. It might be a bit bigger and take up a bit more room. And as we sort of unwind that, we're bringing in circulation of all the healing resources into the spaces between anger and apathy, which was really clever, honestly, to have the body put those together in that way. Because anger loves to move, apathy loves to hold still. Anger loves to erupt, can carry some heat to it, and apathy can have a tendency to cool things down. We don't always look at apathy in a loving way, potentially, and yet it may have provided just the right service at just the right time that may no longer also be required in this moment. And as we release these varying layers of anger and apathy in support of that, bringing in the circulation of all the healing resources, as she break goes down, blood that carries our passion, nerve our communication, lymph that drains our toxins, our gunk, our waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, along with sheer vitality, consciousness through awareness, right down into all the little guys, the electrons, the protons, the solitons, the neutrons. Also working with those sounds, those colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor, endorphins, hormones, and endocannabinoids that lower inflammation, lower anxiety, lower depression, help really all of us to heal, in particular that nervous and that immune system. And then we're working with the circulation of the balancing of the varying different endorphins. And also bringing in here the balance of yin and yang, feminine and masculine. As we do so, circulating hormones, one more time here, and then running hydration specifically for the hormones. Interesting. So we're hydrating the elements that are circulating in a small way, the hormones. And as we support that hydration of the hormones, we also need to connect them to the side body to bring in the essence of stability. And the essence of, in a way, like having sure footing again. And as we support the regulation of healthy hormonal balance, running simultaneously a detox of the things that are getting in the way of that, whatever that might be something physical in the form of, you know, food or exposure to plastics or pesticides, insecticides, etc. It might be mental, it might be a belief system. I am toxic. It might be an emotion. It might be an emotion that's been hung on to for a long time. When we hang on to anger, for instance, that anger can over time create a destructive quality that can become toxic in and of itself. And it can create chronic long-standing resentments, which set up a whole cascade of things. And then we also are going to think of this on a spiritual level simultaneously to all of those elements, which may have encountered potentially some sort of disruption, disconnection, turbulence in some way, shape, or form with your connection to whatever you consider to be that which is eternal. And as we circulate all of these things and run this body chemistry in these ways, again, a reminder that all that's happening to supportively release the varying stacked emotions of anger, of apathy, and simultaneously, just before all of that, releasing a little bit more overwhelm again. Beautiful. And then we're simultaneously in parallel, that's what that means, running the permission statement. It's safe to be all here. It's safe to be all here. It's safe to feel this, take this in, is what that's sort of pointing to. It's safe to be all here. And as the body mind drinks that in, that steadfast energy of it's safe to be all here, we're going to simultaneously run circulation of again all of those same healing resources. This time to, if you want to think of it, the silhouette of the body or the perimeter of the body. And on that outer edge, as we refer to that as being stability, containment, in the inner edges, it begins to bring in circulation of the capacity to feel centered, be centered, and to operate from a centered place. And I see this overall as, again, finding that balance point between containment and centeredness and finding that stable place to be within it all. And then as we do that, I see this connection from the soles of the feet, kidney one, bringing in healthy earth energy as they do, and letting it rise very clearly and easily throughout the center of the system, all the way through this kidney meridian up into the head brain. And then as it goes through the center point, it just naturally fills out to the edges of you. And as the body mind receives this new life, this new nourishment, the head brain begins to release a little bit of, it almost looks like green pus, in particular from an area just on the right side of the prefrontal cortex, but closer to the eye, so very much at the bottom and on the right side of this prefrontal cortex. I might be seeing green pus because I've been a little bit sick, but this looks more like neon green, almost like nuclear radiation type of energy. And it's got a very hot feeling. This is related to the belief system or the experiences potentially of you or your ancestors of being burned alive, of feeling what it is to be burned. And that might not just be physically, that could be playing out mentally, emotionally, spiritually. And it's as if it's set up a bit of an imprint that life is an emergency. And that's hanging on to the space between the prefrontal cortex and the right eye. And as we release that, it helps the right eye to see life through a different lens. And then as that pus dissipates, I see that same earth energy rising through the kidney meridian, through the head brain, and then it goes, it's actually able to get all the way into the scalp, into the hair follicles, into the energy of the scalp, which can relate to containment, can relate to also the quality of innocence. And as we tap into what is it to nourish our innocence, what is it to celebrate potentially even alongside of that, this connection to the earth and innocence alike. It becomes this space or this place where there's even more ease for expansion, not just into nourishment, but in a way to help that flow easily through the entire nervous system, through the kidney meridian, through the brain, through the scalp. And then I see it cascading backwards down through that governing vessel meridian all the way down into its beginning point at the tailbone. So as it goes down the center of the spine, this nourishment, this connection to the earth, for whatever reason, is taking this interesting pathway, nothing I would have predicted. And as it goes through the governing vessel at meridian in reverse, it seems to be collecting old baggage, things that have actually been grieved and been digested and been metabolized, but yet are just sort of like hanging on and creating heaviness, which is actually getting in the way of healthy grief processing to occur. So as we release this through the, in essence, midline of the back body and through the spinal column, it's coming off of that governing vessel meridian simultaneously alongside of just the edges of the spine. And as it goes down all the way into the very roots of the governing vessel meridian, into that perineum, there's a almost like a heavy stone hanging out here. And it's a fair size, it's about like 4 inches or so, but it's not uniform, and it's black. It almost looks like a river stone of sorts. And the black isn't solid, it's more like a dark gray with flecks. And it's as if all those little flecks become energies where the light can enter, where things get to be just a little bit lighter at times. And that light, it almost is reminiscent of like starlight or bioluminescent lights. It's providing a sense of what it is to be natural, what it is to be safe, what it is to be safe in the natural world or safe enough in the natural world. And as soon as that gets honored The stone stays roughly the same, but there's actually a loosening of adhesions between the sacrum and the tailbone, as well as between the sacrum and the lumbar spine. So at both the top and the bottom of that sacrum on the back of the pelvis, there begins to have things unwind. And as it begins to pulse and move, it's actually moving rhythmically. And it's moving rhythmically with the breath. And as it moves and grooves with that breath, I still see it rocking and moving. And there's this return back to that stone energy. And within the stone itself, there's this energy of feeling lost or feeling adrift or aimless. And almost the energy of like, where is solid land again? It feels like there's a bit of disorientation in here. So we actually need to work with this via one of the muscles that I think I've mentioned, maybe not recently, that works with disorientation, which is that of the SCM, which turns our head side to side and helps us to take in and recognize where we are in relationship to that external world. So again, we're going to run in with this permissions of it's safe to be all here. It's safe to be all here. And as we offer that to that neck muscle, I see the right foot, the right pelvis begin to drop a little bit deeper into whatever is supporting it via that earth energy. And as the sort of subtle shift happens, and as the energy becomes stable all through this right foot, this right hip, linking in the eighth house, which helps to work with regeneration. And I see that quality of regeneration circulating via the masculine body. And it's going through and up into governing vessel meridian. And as it rises via this right foot, right hip, governing vessel meridian, giving essence to healthy masculine energy qualities of protection, providing, procreating, and in turn allowing for this masculine energy to become vital, to connect to vitality. And as it does so, releasing potentially old hurts that may have even encompassed challenges with the feminine that may be playing out internally, externally, in our larger world. And as we find this capacity to potentially accept the masculine for its vitality in these healthy ways, also releasing from the masculine those old pains that may have been seemingly taken on by its experiences with the feminine. And it's almost as if there's this pushback from the masculine not wanting to take in the feminine's nourishment out of almost this like need to punish. However, the cost of that is depletion, self-depletion. The cost of that is lack. And that in turn hurts the masculine, which is very much again interested in protecting, providing, procreating. These are things of sustenance. And as we work with that new way of this masculine feminine relationship unfolding, releasing from again that masculine, the sense of being hurt by the feminine to the point where it didn't want to take it in anymore. We're actually unhooking the belief system of this is too much. This is too much. As that comes off of, in essence, the midline of the body, it begins to restore the natural energy of the midline, which is that of trust. And I actually see that midline now connecting to your breath cycle. And as it does so, that energy of trust begins to ripple via the breath through both sides, masculine and feminine, stitching them together in a healthier way of supporting each other so that the masculine can take in the nourishment that it needs and the feminine can have the protection that it may be desiring. And as we support this stitching together, bringing into union, the energy of the sixth house comes alive one more time, this time for its connection to intellect, to awareness, to discernment, and with it running the permissions of, I know how this works now. I know how this works. I know how this works. And I see that almost like a tone of clarity. And as that clarity arises, eliminating one more potential layer of confusion between the masculine and the feminine. And we, I don't know if I've mentioned it recently, I may have confusion being two things stuck together or two things fused together with fusion is literally the translation of confusion. So as we release the confusion, it actually sets the stage for healthy union to happen. It doesn't have to be with fusion, it gets to be. So as we work with that, releasing any layers of I have to that are ready to transform into I get to. And linking that all into 12th house, house again of releasing, allowing, surrendering, letting go. I'm actually seeing the hair one more time. It's actually been pretty chatty throughout, but I was waiting for when it wanted to pop up again the most, and it's here now. And as you work with the hair, being an extension of the nervous system, for the hair itself, we're actually running a cellular repair. And you may be thinking, how can we do that? The hair itself is dead. You're not wrong, but where it stems from is not. And as we run a cellular repair on the hair, think of it as a bit of a backdoor approach to doing a cellular repair on the nervous system. As we offer that, we're simultaneously releasing a fair amount of adhesions through the left side of the throat, including into the tongue and where the tongue roots in and that hyoid, that floating bone hangs out. And we're going through that to not just unwind adhesions, but to open up whatever may be underlying that around speaking your truth, your authenticity, your sovereignty. And in particular, bringing in now the essence of being able to express your emotions with sovereignty without having to be overwhelmed or burdened by them, in a way getting to speak not from the emotion, but for it. And with that, bringing in the liver for its role and boundaries, along with the lung in their meridians to support that expression of emotional sovereignty. And as we release this through pretty much that left, just left the midline from all the way through the crown of the head down to the heart. There is this, almost like this tension around like having to keep things together or put a lid on it, so to speak, so as to not have things open, exposed, or potentially explode or cause harm. And from their releases, in particular, the belief system, I'm not crazy. I'm not crazy. / identity. I'm not crazy. And as we release that, we're actually linking it into tender territory, potentially, given our current events at hand, into the uterus. And here, we're actually working with that term that was created, I want to say roughly the 1800s, but I might be off by, my history is terrible. It's around the time of Freud. And that term that they brought in through the medical community to diagnose women as being quote unquote crazy, that just really had a lot of trauma. And the specific term that they used was hysteria, meaning to have a uterus meant to be predisposed to being histrionic in some way. Yeah. And within this, releasing a fair amount of grief, anger, and rage around being misunderstood. And it feels like tapping into something for the collective and also through your family lines. Through your family lines. And as we release that through the family lines, we're releasing it one generation at a time, and I see it going back all the way through the higher self, all the way until it connects back to source itself, back to that which is eternal. And as we witness this grief on multiple layers, multiple levels, multiple beings in you, doing another emotional release of overwhelm. And I see it as coming off of the pelvic bowl. And as you release that overwhelm, giving the pelvis permission to stand its ground in a way that gets to be open, gets to be still, flow energy is still here. And we're going to invite in all those same things that circulate, blood, nerve, lymph that I mentioned earlier, all the circulatory resources here again. And if you feel called to, you can even include that resource that you located for yourself at the very beginning. And as those circulate, I actually see a restoring the consciousness of agency. I have a choice. I get a say. I matter. Matter is often a reference that I've used. I feel like I may have explained it a few times, but I don't think recently that the connection to matter, and I'm taking a lot of liberties, is often our connection to substance, to matter, which is maternal in nature, says me, maybe some others. And then the masculine counterpoint to that is the patterns, the pater. So it's this relationship between pater and mater in Latin that I referred to a while ago. So when I say the words I matter, I'm also bringing in that essence of the maternal here and acknowledging the roots from where you come from. And I see that going back through again, the lineages of mama after mama after mama, all the way until it reaches the womb that's held us all, this womb of Mother Earth, the womb that's birthed us all. And as we link into this connection of the earth, this connection of the maternal in a much broader sense, it actually has the capacity to contain in a much broader sense. And if there's any hurts, any things that are up strongly for you, offering it with the understanding that the earth can hold it. The earth can hold it. And I actually see, and if you feel free to go into it, if it calls to you, the energy of child's pose in yoga. And if you're wondering what the heck that is, feel free to Google it afterwards and feel free to hang out in it for a few breaths and see if that calls to you. And it's really a posture where the forehead contacts the earth and we allow the earth to hold us. We allow ourselves to surrender to the earth. We allow ourselves to disperse, to grieve, to the mother that can hold us all. And as the earth receives it, it becomes much like a holy, sacred offering that in turn gets to be recycled and used in a healthy way for fertilizer to grow new life, to grow new things, to grow new possibilities. And with that, I actually see your feet come alive again. And now there's potentially even new freedom that's available. You might want to even wiggle your toes and see how that feels, letting the feet play, letting the feet come alive. And as the feet do that, I actually see them doing it in a very slow way, very slow way. So feel free to slow down those movements if you're engaging in them. If it calls to you, bringing in that resource maybe one more time so the feet can explore them too. That might sound like an odd thing, but potentially if it makes sense for you, feel free to lean into that. And as the feet become resource, I see them as bringing in that sense of safety and working with it from the ground up as it begins to enter not just through the toes and the feet, but begins potentially to rise through the joints of that ankle into the leg, all the way through all sides, moving past the knee. Through the hip. And then into that pelvis, where it reaches that governing vessel one point. And it's going again through that governing vessel meridian. And from there, throughout the entire back body. And then slowly through the front body. All the way to the crown, to the scalp. And as soon as I see the scalp this time, releasing memories around scalp trauma that's been held potentially in the collective in a variety of different ways, not just cultural and racial, also in the context of masculine and feminine, there's been a lot of scalp trauma over the years held within the collective. And potentially in your own individual life. And that might even be in small ways, innocent ways. When your mom was combing your hair, was too rough, or braiding your hair and pulling too hard. Or the hairdresser did X, Y, Z and burnt your scalp, whatever it may have been. As we work with that, simultaneously running hydration through the scalp to take in water, joy, and release any impurities that just don't need to be here. I just hear this permissions, and the words are, I am nourished. There's actually two. The second one is, I am loved. And I see that it's going in reverse order, all the way down to the feet, into the earth, and then that becomes almost like this recycling project, taking in the earth energy all the way up to the scalp. I am nourished and I am loved, getting to flow right back down the body all the way to the feet, which we're taking in safety and protection. I see it as sinking in somewhat with the breath cycle. So every inhale, taking in that safety, that protection all the way up. And every exhale, circulating that love, that nourishment. And as the body mind becomes cocoons in safety, protection, nourishment, and love, I see those lungs releasing wave after wave of grief as it's held gently, softly, with all the right amounts of tenderness and care. And the grief, in part related to what could have been. What could have been, as well as for any current active hurts that are alive. And as we move slowly here too, invitation to breathe mindfully with those lungs. Almost imagining that that air, that breath, can spread that nourishment inside the lungs, inside the chest cavity. In through the different airways, into the out pocketings, those little balloon-like structures at the very end, the alveoli. It's a fun name, isn't it? Alveoli. Reminds me of ravioli. And in a way, forgive my lack of reverence, This alveoli begins to expand and be caressed through again every inhale, safety, protection, every exhale, love and nourishment. And as that exhale circulates love and nourishment, it's also supporting the release of grief to happen in a way that cultivates potentially more love, more nourishment, eventually. Grief has its own timeline. Invitation to just take another few rounds mindfully of that way, letting the lungs be healed by the breath itself. And in this air contains a lot of nourishment, a lot of minerals, a lot of different things besides just oxygen molecules. It contains molecules of healing, molecules of support for all things health. And in this way, the lungs become a self-healing machine. So the breath itself supports the vitality, the sustainability, the capacity for the lungs to again receive safety, protection, and release grief in a way that creates even more nourishment and love eventually. And that may be in this moment. That may be right here, right now. What's ready to soften? Notice. Breathe. What are you ready to release today? Notice. Breathe. And then we're linking that breath cycle through to that energy one more time to the 12th house, and then interestingly enough to the first house, endings, beginnings. And as endings flow into beginnings easily, a little bit easier potentially, we're going to run that permissions that it's actually safe to have this flow easily. It's safe to flow easily between endings and new beginnings. And as we do that, there's this little piece of limbo in between that might be necessary. And if you like it there, have it there. And for anyone who's like, I don't need this, I'm ready for that ending to flow smoothly into a new beginning. We're going to release that little piece of thinking that a limbo is required before a transition can happen. And that limbo space is held, and not surprisingly, roughly around where the head meets the body, more so at the base of the throat, into the thymus gland that holds all of our patterns around safety, or pardon me, all of our patterns around how we've held ourselves safely, how we've protected ourselves. It also stores all of our stuff from early childhood where we found those. It also works with all things related to acceptance and rejection. And from here, it's a little integration piece from last week. There is this like light bulb moment that something the thymus has, and I imagine it's related to a time in which you were quite small. And we're just letting the body mind drink that in as well to any other of the parts that were quite small for you. And the awareness, the aha light bulb moment, is actually this belief system that anger, when I hang on to anger, it destroys me. When I hang on to my anger, it destroys me. And as the thymus and my throat alike release some of that through the thymus glands. It's almost as if that anger was creating a bit of like an interruption between allowing those endings to flow easily into a new beginning. So that anger, without that pattern needing to be there, might allow for more of your matter, your substance, to flow readily between, again, anything that's involved with endings, anything involved with beginnings. And in the body, that's also the connection between the liver and the lungs. The liver and the lungs. which both support boundaries. As we bring in the consciousness of boundaries, healthy boundaries, running a permissions here. And the words are, I honor my boundaries. Very direct. I honor my boundaries. And you might be thinking, I don't even know what boundaries are. How do I honor them? Yeah, you get to get curious. And as you explored and transformed emotions into energy in this last round, and I think we may have done it on one or sort of twice in the call since, the energy of like ah or woo and pushing out to find your boundaries in a way that doesn't have to be cerebral or heady or intellectual, but becomes somatic. And in essence offers your body mind, as boundaries do, the opportunity to enter into simultaneously healthy containment, excuse me, and healthy relationships. Healthy containment and healthy relationships. Although we could spend literally hours on discussing the differences between containment and boundaries, I'm taking a bit of a liberal leap here. So as we work with it in this way, linking that connection of boundaries now into the very breath, what if boundaries got to be held and danced with, and an experience in a way that was similar to the ease of breathing. So it requires less effort to hold your space, but rather you get to be held. So often we think of, I've got to hold my boundaries up, when it might be the reverse. It might be the reverse. It might be by honoring your boundaries, you're held up. And you're not just held, but in a way that invites in, again, relation. Held in relation. Held in relationship. Held in connection. And linking that right back into the heart and the governing vessel meridian. And as we started off, these two were very much interested in having harmony and protection held in easeful relationship to one another. And as we return to them this time, it almost looks like not quite intimate in that way, but the essence of just the joy of being in relationship, almost like lovers have when they come together. But again, without like the sexual, I mean the sexual, all welcome, but it's non-sexual in nature, this particular connection, this union. If such a thing can be said, I think sexual energy is also our energy of vitality, so... referring to the use of the word sexual in a very traditional way there. In case I threw you, usually I use that term fairly openly to include our capacity to heal, to be vital, to make things happen, to create change, and numerous other attributes of healthy masculine energy. That's all linking now into the liver, into the 12th house, and into the governing vessel meridian simultaneously. The liver releasing any old karmic patterns and toxicities that don't need to be here. And the 12th house supporting anything else to surrender from this governing vessel meridian that's ready to let go of. And with that, that stone with the specks of light that I saw earlier, that was like a 4-inch or so river stone, actually, broop, releases, almost like an apple falling from a tree. And it's caught by the 12th house to supportively digest and release. And I just hear the words, I am here. And I can flow. I am here and I can flow. As we bring this in for a nice soft landing, I'm going to tap this out and I invite you to breathe. If it feels right, to call in that resource that we found. I think I've got the perfect song for this. Let's see. It's about 4 minutes. It's called Be Like Water, and it's by Low Wolf from the album Be Like Water. And I know we're kind of at time, so if anyone needs to leave, I'll offer my words first. Thank you for being here. And thank you for being you. Oh my gosh, so precious to have you all here. What a joy to get to meet you in these spaces. And thank you to, again, all those that have come before you, your families, your ancestors, the very lineage that's carried you all on this very earth. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Peace. Peace. Peace.
Let me be like water, fluid and forgiving. Let me be like water. Let me be.
Be like water, like water.
be.
Thank you all for being here. All my love. Mwah, mwah, mwah. And we meet in a couple days. If there's anything that feels like it's lingering from our past few sessions, feel free to let me know. And we'll meet to address that and any other questions that anybody has. So feel free to offer those too. Okay? And I imagine we'll end up doing some more work in this territory with body talk, and we'll see what else gets called for and called in and arises. Okay, so all my love from both of us. Bye for now, y'all.